Good afternoon, and welcome to the live listen-in telephone press conference for the Cuban Five. Speakers today include defense attorneys for the case, Gloria LaRiva, president for the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five, Andres Gomez, Miami coordinator for Free the Five campaign and member of the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five, and invited guests, international jurists and parliamentarians from Ukraine, Germany, Italy, Argentina, Belgium, Canada, as well as the U.S. There will be no Q&A for this phone call. However, to request interviews, please call Kawana Lloyd at 240-472-2860, Gloria LaRiva at 415-312-6042, or Timmy Gerson at 202-822-5200, extension 210. For general information, please visit www.freethefive.org. An MP3 will also be made available to requesting journalists. Thanks for joining us, and please hold for the press conference.
My name is Gloria LaRiva, and I'm the coordinator of the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five, an organization which was formed in the United States within days after the conviction of the Cuban Five in June 2001, because from day one of their arrest, we believe them to be innocent, and they still are today. 3 years ago, here in Atlanta, the defense attorneys filed their briefs for the Cuban Five anti-terrorist appeals. 27 months after those first appeals were filed, and 17 months after the oral arguments were heard in Miami, a 93-page ruling by the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals overturned unanimously all the convictions and sentences of Gerardo Hernandez, Ramon Labañino, Antonio Guerrero, Fernando González, and René González. That decision on August 9 was comprehensive, and it confirmed what the whole world knows, that the atmosphere created in Miami by the existence of terrorist organizations which operate in Miami with impunity made it impossible for the Cuban Five to receive a fair, unbiased jury trial. And yet, 3 years after the first appeals, the case of the Cuban Five finds itself before the 11th Circuit Court again. We're very thankful for the deep dedication that the legal team has shown, and we are hopeful that the full panel of the court will reaffirm the August 9th decision so that our Cuban brothers can move closer to freedom and be home with their loved ones, so that they are completely exonerated. But we are also here to say, on behalf of the many tens of thousands of active supporters around the world, that it is time to free the Cuban Five, immediately and without delay. How can the U.S. government justify holding five men who never harmed one individual, on the contrary, who saved lives? And how can Washington justify letting terrorists run free in Miami while it sentences anti-terrorists to life terms? And the U.S. treatment of the Cuban Five has been politically motivated from the start. That is why forces all over the world, from the 110 British parliamentarians to our national committee here in the U.S., to Nobel Prize recipients, and to the very heart of Miami, where hundreds of courageous Cuban people have had forums, raised funds, and people around the world have declared the year 2006 as the most critical yet in the freedom struggle for our five Cuban heroes. We call them heroes because anywhere else in the world, except Miami and the White House, they would be considered heroes for peaceably and effectively stopping terrorist violence, terrorist bombing, terrorist threats against innocent civilians. The law is on our side, justice is on our side, and we know that the American people oppose terrorism without reservation. Once they know about the Cuban Five, we know that they will also demand their freedom. President Bush, whose administration has vengefully persecuted the Five, must let these men go free. We call on you, President Bush, to free Gerardo, Ramon, Antonio, René, and Fernando now. Extradite Luis Posada Carriles to Venezuela. Stop harboring the most dangerous terrorists in the Western Hemisphere on U.S. soil. And I want to announce that to break through the media and government blockade of this case, the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five has launched recently a freedom fund of $250,000, and we're already one half of the way. We're proud of the fact that Cubans in Miami are the largest fundraisers to date, raising over $26,000 in less than 2 months. And they're working class people for whom that money is a sacrifice. Through flyers, publicity, newspaper ads, protests, and forums, we will make the five a household word. And just as is important, we call on the State Department to immediately grant entry, visas to the wives of two of the Cuban five, Adriana Perez, wife of Gerardo Hernandez, and Olga Salanueva, who is married to Rene Gonzalez. Today is February 14th. It's Valentine's Day. And an 8-year-old girl, Yvette, needs to see her dad. She needs to hold him. She needs to hear his voice in person. They need to see their families. And we call on the government immediately to let them enter the U.S. to see Rene and Gerardo. I want to send a special greeting to our brothers, the Cuban Five, and tell them for all of the supporters who are here in the courtroom and those who are listening around the world, happy Valentine's Day, brothers. We will hear now from our first speaker. Who is Kurt Delour. We have a number of foreign guests, distinguished parliamentarians and jurists from a number of countries, and I will name them later, and also a very distinguished retired judge from Detroit. Kurt Delour is a member of the Flemish Parliament in Belgium, and he is responsible for a declaration, a very new declaration, on the violation of human rights in the case of the Cuban Five that was signed by 32 Belgian MPs, the members of the Flemish Parliament, the Belgian Parliament, and the House of Representatives and the Senate, and one member of the European Parliament. Please welcome Kurt Delour.
Good afternoon, everybody. As a member of the, as a Belgian member of Parliament, more specifically of the Flemish Parliament, I am glad to be here to support the Cuban Five. And with my presence, I will do that. I will support them because it's important for the Cuban Five, for this case, that they have a fair trial. I want politicians and the political world to know what happened in this case in Miami. They didn't get a fair trial. The human rights were violated, and it became a political process. The United States don't want to create a lot of communication about it. Yesterday, when we came from the airport in a cab, the cab driver asked us, "What are you two Belgian guys doing in Atlanta?" And when we said we come to five Cubans, the Cuban Five, he didn't even know about it. He reads each day. Government doesn't want to say a lot about it. That's why my presence, and I want to be here because I want to do a lot of communication about it, about the double moral of the United States. On the one hand, they do international war against terror, and on the other hand, they put five innocent people in prison. Five people who try to avoid terrorism against their own country. I think also that the international community has a huge and a big responsibility in this. So in Belgium, we made a declaration which is signed by 32 members of parliament, the Flemish parliament, the House of Representatives, the Senate, and also one member of the European Parliament, because we want that the Cuban Five will get a fair trial, and we want to stop the violation on human rights. I already took, and in the future I will take my political responsibility for this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kurt. Among our guests here today are Eberhard Schultz, who is from the Berlin Bar Association and the International League of Human Rights in Berlin and the Republican Lawyers Guild, Edith Lamont, who is a Belgian attorney who also attended the oral arguments in Miami in 2004, Father Jeffrey Bottoms, who is leader of the British campaign to free the Cuban Five, who's on a tour of the United States with the film Mission Against Terror, along with Bernie Dwyer of Ireland and co-director of the documentary, who just concluded, for example, an event of 500 people in Boston. We have Fabio Marcelli, an Italian attorney representing the International Association of Defense Attorneys, lawyers. We have Judge Claudia Markham, a longtime civil rights activist from Detroit, Michigan, and judge of Wayne County Circuit Court from 1983 to 1998, when she retired, and she continues to be very active in a number of international human rights committees and conferences, and is part of the International Association of Defense Lawyers as well. Yes, and Carlos Zamorano, who is a very well-known and distinguished attorney from Argentina, who also attended the oral arguments in 2004. We will hear now from Leonard Weinglass, who, for those who were in the hearing today, know that he argued the case along with appeals attorney Richard Clue. Leonard Weinglass represents Antonio Guerrero, who is serving life in Florence, Colorado, and is a longtime renowned civil rights activist, lawyer, attorney, who has represented Angela Davis and Mumia Abu-Jamal and in Daniel Ellsberg in the Pentagon Papers, among a number of other cases. Please welcome Leonard Weinglass.
Good afternoon. I'm pleased to say that the case today received a fair hearing here in Atlanta before a court which obviously knew the record of the case, was interested in the legal issues that were raised, and I'm sure will give this case a full and fair consideration. But we are mindful of the fact that the last time we argued this case before a panel of this court, three judges in a unanimous 93-page decision found that the case would have to be reversed because the case represented a perfect storm of prejudice against the five Cubans who were charged. I believe that this court will not convert that perfect storm of prejudice into a bright and sunny day of neutrality in Miami, because anyone examining the 119 volumes of transcripts in what was the longest trial in the United States at the time it occurred, plus the 800 exhibits, over 20,000 pages, will reach the same conclusion. This case has been examined not only by three judges of the circuit who reached that conclusion, but by five judges of the United Nations Working Group on Arbitrary Detention. Those five judges in May of this year also found that the five did not receive a fair trial in Miami. In other words, this case has been reviewed by no fewer than eight judges, three in the circuit, five in the UN. All eight agreed unanimously that the five did not receive a fair trial. So as we stand now before 13 judges, which includes two of the original judges, we feel hopeful and even optimistic that finally, after 7 years, there will be a recognition that the five did not have a fair process and that their convictions will be reversed. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Leonard. We'll now hear from our last speaker, and then we'll have questions and answers. And if we have time, we'd like to hear a few words from some of our foreign guests. Our next speaker is Andres Gomez, who has lived in Miami, a Cuban progressive activist who is the director of the Antonio Maceo Brigade and Areito Digital magazine. He also is one of the leading activists of Alianza Martiana, which is an alliance of Cuban organizations in Miami. And a number of our Cuban friends from Miami are here also with us. And Andres is the coordinator of the Miami National Campaign to Free the Cuban Five.
That's fine. Thank you for being here today. I am here on behalf of a number of Cuban American organizations in Miami who support the end of a policy of aggression by the United States against the Cuban people in place for the last 47 years. We favor the normalization of relations between the United States and Cuba in order to solve the outstanding differences between both governments. We favor the end of the trade embargo against the Cuban people that so much harm has caused the Cuban people. We are here to demand the end of U.S. support for terrorist organizations of the Cuban right wing in Miami that from U.S. soil have planned and conducted terrorist attacks against the Cuban people in the island for the last 47 years and have also been responsible for assassinations and other terrorist attacks against those that oppose your methods and political aims in the United States. We're here also to denounce the tactics of the extreme right wing that says that the position of the defense that it is impossible or it was impossible to conduct a fair trial in Miami under the conditions that existed in Miami and that exist in Miami in the case of the Cuban Five is racist. As a lie. It isn't a question of racism. It is a question that the Cubans and the Cuban Americans in Miami are the first victims of terrorism conducted by extreme right-wing organizations. They are unable to pronounce themselves freely on subjects related to Cuba because of the threat of violence against them. This is not a supposition. Hundreds of terrorist acts have been committed by those organizations in the United States, specifically in Miami. In order to substantiate this, I ask you to go to the classified U.S. government documents, FBI documents, on these activities by Cuban right-wing terrorists in the United States during the past 47 years. And it is right there. U.S. government documents substantiate what I'm saying today. If it would have been possible to have a fair trial in Miami for the Cuban Five, why did then the federal district attorney, less than a year after they said that a fair trial was possible in Miami on these questions, reversed themselves in the Ramirez case and said that it was impossible to conduct such a fair trial in Miami in regards to the question of the demand by the employee of the Immigration Department in the case of Elian Gonzalez. Not only that, but why has the district attorney's office demanded that the trial against Santiago Alvarez and Osvaldo Mitad, who are Cuban American terrorists, be conducted in Broward County, in Fort Lauderdale, and not in Miami, simply because they know that they cannot obtain a fair decision in Miami, which is the contention of the defense and the basis for the decision of the three-judge panel in August when they annulled the trial and the sentences and asked for a new trial. Thank you very much.
We'll now entertain any questions from the media. So you all agree. I think we'd like to then hear from a couple of words from some of our guests. If Eberhard Schulz, would you be able to come up and say a few words? They traveled a long distance, and some of them actually made it through the New York storm.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to take the opportunity to support the fight for a new trial for the Cuban Five. I came over from Germany the second time, last time in the hearing in Miami. I found it very convincing, the arguments of the defense. And as we have seen and heard, the decision was very clear and very unanimous. And let me stress one point. From the international standard of human rights, it is impossible to keep somebody, even with the charge of murder, longer than, let's say, 6 years in prison. I have been defense lawyer in a case before the European Court of Human Rights. The charge was ringleadership of terrorist organization and murder. And my client was convicted to 6 years, and then afterwards we went to the European Court of Human Rights, who said it is impossible to keep him in prison for these 6 years, even if he is guilty. And this is not clear yet in our case. So I think the international human rights standards demand that the Cuban Five be free immediately. Thank you.
We'd like to hear from Fabio Marcelli.
I am here on behalf of the International Association of Democratic Lawyers, which is an international association of lawyers which is present in more than 80 countries all over the world, including United States and Cuba, among the others. I am personally Italian, and I am a researcher in international law in Rome. We have two main concerns about this trial. The first one is that the human rights of the convicted Cuban Five have been violated because no fair trial has been given to them. This was acknowledged by the recent decision of the appeal panel in August. And it's all now clear to everyone. So we think that it's time to free the Human Five because, as my colleague Eberhard just said, it's not possible to keep people in prison for an indefinite period of time, and I think that now it's time to free them and to allow them to join their families. The second concern we have is of more general nature, and it's relating to the struggle to terrorism. We think that the international community should unite in a struggle against terrorism in every form, and therefore we cannot understand why the United States government does not recognize the fact that these five people were acting here in the United States in order to protect their people and their state from terrorist attacks. And why, on the contrary, the United States government gives sometimes the impression to protect or to harbor international terrorists acting against Cuba or also against other countries on their soil. This is in patent contradiction with the necessity to have a common struggle against terrorism in every form, which is a primary commitment of our association, the Association of International Democratic Lawyers. Thank you.
Some of the media wants to have individual interviews, so we will end the press conference now. There will be a public meeting tonight at Spelman College at the Cosby Auditorium, 7 p.m., in which community activists will be speaking about the case. speaking to the public. There's a lot of interest in it. And we want to thank everybody for being here, for everyone who came to Atlanta. And in the United States, the media attention on this case has been very minimal. It certainly has international and national significance, not just for Miami. So we're glad to see the press here. And we want to thank Kawana Loy for having organized the press conference today. Thank you very much.